Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Christ is risen. We celebrate the great holy feast of the resurrection of our Lord. For those who first experienced the resurrection of our Lord did not immediately shout, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Mary Magdalene, in the darkness of her pain and despair, comes to the empty tomb. When Mary gets to the tomb, the stone has been rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, but that so others could get in and witness to the resurrection. She believed that they had taken away the body of our Lord. However, his linen wrappings were lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the linen wrappings, but folded up in a place by itself. Grave robbers would not have stripped the body in the tomb and run out with a naked corpse. They certainly would not have taken the time to roll up the cloth that was on Jesus' head and place it by itself. Mary had forgotten. She had forgotten Jesus' words of how he would be crucified, died, and be buried and rise again on the third day. Her grief is so great, she couldn't see past the deep pain of the heart. Sometimes, in the midst of our day-to-day lives, in the midst of scrambling to make ends meet, in the midst of hurrying from one doctor visit to another, in the midst of suffering and loss, we too have a hard time seeing the resurrection. It's easier for us to trust what we know, what we can see. It is easier to trust ourselves than to trust something so amazing and so otherworldly as the resurrection. And so, in pain of such a profound loss, Mary wept. Appropriate response for losing a loved one. We all know what that's like. Living through a pandemic, we know perhaps more than ever the threat and pain of death. But when she looked into the tomb for the second time, she saw two angels who asked her, "Why are you weeping?" After telling them how our Lord's body had been taken away, she turns around and sees Jesus. But he has changed. He is in his resurrection glory now, and she does not recognize him. Or perhaps her grief is so great she cannot see the risen Lord in front of her. She mistakes him for the gardener, which in a way Jesus is like a gardener, metaphorically speaking. He is the one who sows the seed of the word into our hearts. He is the one who gets rid of the weeds of sin in our soul. He is the one who opens up the Garden of Eden, the promised land of eternal life with God. Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" He invites her in these questions to be in conversation with him. He invites her to be intentionally present in the moment with Christ. He invites her to be in the moment of her pain and suffering, to name and claim what it is. Mary pleads with Jesus to tell her where the body is laid. She says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." Can you hear the pain in those words? She wants to take away Jesus' body, but she will not be physically able to lift and carry the body away. In her pain, she desperately wants to have some earthly, tangible connection with Jesus. She does not want to let go of him. But Jesus calls her by name, Mary. I wonder how many times he had called her that during his lifetime. And she turns toward to him saying, Rabboni, teacher. She sees Jesus, the good shepherd, and hears his voice and recognizes him at last. He calls her by name, just as he calls you and me by name in the waters of baptism. Now Mary's belief turns, disbelief turns to belief. Her tears of great sorrow turns to unimaginable joy. She is filled with the joy of the resurrection and becomes part of the resurrection story. She sees, she hears, and she believes Christ is risen. And she is drawn toward her Savior. But Mary wants to hold on to the earthly Jesus. She wants life to continue the same as it had before his death. She believes Jesus is risen, but does not understand that through Christ's resurrection and ascension, something new is happening. Jesus, knowing her heart, anticipates this and tells her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not ascended to the Father." Jesus is in the process of ascending, and nothing can hinder his return to the Father. Why? Because through his ascension, he will have fellowship with his followers in a greater and fuller way than he ever had before. By returning to the Father, he is able to be with his followers throughout all times and all places through the Holy Spirit. Instead, Jesus tells Mary, "But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The disciples had abandoned Jesus in his great time of need. But Christ does not abandon them. By ascending to his Father, Jesus opens up new life with God for his followers. So they now can become adopted children of God and Jesus' brothers and sisters. This new communion with Jesus is not dependent on how great we are, but solely on the foolish, extravagant love of God in Christ Jesus and nothing else. Filled with the power and joy of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is why Mary Magdalene throughout the centuries has been called the Apostle to the Apostles. In many ways, the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord is our celebration of our resurrection. Like Mary Magdalene, we have been named and claimed by Christ. In holy baptism, we have been named and claimed to be God's children. We have been called to share the good news that Christ is risen. And Christ continues to appear to us just as he appeared to Mary. He appears to us in the opening of scriptures and in the breaking of bread and pouring of wine at the table of the Eucharist, where the real presence of Christ crucified and risen in body and blood comes to us. He appears to us in prayer and worship. In all these things, he appears to us in the midst of our pain and suffering, giving us hope and confidence in the resurrection that death is not the end. And he empowers us to participate in the resurrection story, to go out and tell others the great news that Christ is risen. He invites us to participate in his life-changing grace so others can know the reality of the resurrection, that in the risen Christ, all things are being changed new. They can know there's more to life than their pain and struggles and death. They can know that in Christ there is life through death, that God's love is more powerful than death itself. In Christ there is abundant, never-ending life, a life in communion with God, a life sharing in the life, nature, and love of God. So on this day, let us celebrate and feast because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.